We're talking down with Don Close, of course, with Rabo AgriBank. And Don, let's talk a little bit about some of these things that are out there right now, kind of hanging over the industry. What is this Zilmax Zilpaterol issue? How much is that really, you think, hurt our fed cattle industry here in the U.S.?
Yeah, boy, that one is so fluid, and there's still so many unanswered questions on that. Where will we be at the end of the day? I don't know. I think it is interesting if you look at the surge we have had in the percentage of cattle grading choice in prime since early that withdrawal date in early September clearly shows that the product had an impact. If you also look at the live weight to carcass weight yields and the drag it has had, there's the the downside. I have expectations that the product will be back, whether it will be back with modifications or not modifications. But I think that world supplies of proteins are so tight that we're just ultimately going to be forced to look at all potential technologies.
If we had ample supplies, this product may becomes a little less attractive because of the holding back the grading of the cattle, you think?
I believe so. And clearly we, as an industry, we will have to make that ultimate decision through price of whether we want that ultimate high-quality product or if we're looking for additional tonnage of total beef supplies and in which direction the industry will go.
When we think about, you mentioned price, very strong prices right now, whether you're talking about fat cattle or you're talking about yearlings, calves, cull cows, well, you name it. And I mean, so what's going on here? I mean, you know, is this just a function of so few cattle?
A combination of so few cattle. The other is we're seeing unprecedented world demand, not only beef, but all animal protein. And as the standard of living increases globally, the China, it doesn't matter what conversation you have on agriculture economics right now, that conversation is going to go, what's China's next move? And as long as that continues to be the case, I think that prices will be very good. Now, the other is the record prices that you just mentioned, we're finally seeing some recovery and some improvement in pasture and range conditions nationally. And the timing of cooperation from Mother Nature and the economic signal we're seeing from these prices is absolutely, the signal's out to producers, it's time to expand.
Now, you know, as that signal goes out, these high prices at the same time kind of make producers think twice, boy, should I just take the money and run, or do I, you know, invest for a little longer term and hold those females back?
Right. And certainly the age demographics of the U.S. cattle producer is playing a hand in that decision. The ultimate question is one that each individual producer and his circumstances will have to make that decision. Now, I will add to that, I've spoken at a couple of events this year, cow-calf conferences, and I was really, really pleased with the number of young people in attendance at those sessions, and breakout sessions that addressed issues of consideration for repopulating or starting in the cow business have been very well attended. So I think that part of this price resurgence that we're seeing is finally attracting new participants onto the playing field.
That's pretty significant.
That's good news. That's good news.
You know, when we think about some of the economic factors, you mentioned China. Talking to Phil Tsang just a few days ago from U.S. Meat Export Federation, he said for 2014, the opportunity clearly is if you can get Russia back online and get China.
Without question. Now, the protein demands and the expected stability of trade relations with China, certainly we have this whole issue currently with the purchase of Smithfield Foods by Shegway and China's accelerated involvement in U.S. animal agriculture will be a stabilizing force there, where the relationship with Russia, while it's good, but it's more on again, off again.
Right now it's the beta agonist issue that they're worried about.
Yep. Yep. The beta agonist issue, you know, we still have the question with the Russian trade relationship. How much of that is politically driven and how much of it is food science driven? So, you know, that gets pretty fuzzy.
One other area, as far as from an economic perspective, all the furor. We got so many passionate people for and against on this cool issue. If you know, depending on how this thing plays out, how much impact are we talking about to the cattle producer if cool stays or if cool goes?
That's a great question. First off, I think that we need to see the realization that not only is it a North American market, but we're living in a time of global markets, and the isolationism of cool just doesn't stand up to the demand base that we have, nor does it stand, you know, of the need. If you take a combination of the likelihood of seeing a U.S. political resolve to cool, if we ever see the completion of a farm bill, is one avenue. If that doesn't play out, and the request from Canada and Mexico to implement tariffs on the U.S. is approved, with an expectation that it will be, so we have U.S. legislative potential resolve or WTO resolve. At the end of the day, I think cool will ultimately be an interim problem that we find an answer to.
Yeah, in some cases, one way or another, this may be dictated to us.
It very well could be dictated to us. But, you know, that we've had our wins with the WTO and we've had our losses with the WTO, but we are a leading participant in that agreement, and we have to stand up to our obligations.
Well, last question, as far as what's 14 look like in your mind for the cattle business?
I am so optimistic. As we've talked about, the combination of improving weather, the recharge of our feed grain supplies, the recharge of our forage and hay supplies, all cooperating for expansion, the price levels that we've discussed and the opportunities that bring, I think are the stars are finally aligned. I would go so far, if you look at the Australia has had the largest slaughter they've had in over 35 years. Their exports to China with direct access is up over 800% year to date. And the offset that could have of lean beef shipments to the United States at the very same time when we see reduced cow slaughter and heifer retention, I think we've got so many moving pieces aligning for continuation of tight supply, but excellent opportunity. Now, the one caveat that I would add to and point of concern I would have with that is the positioning that the poultry and pork sector is in to capitalize and grow market share at the expense of beef over the next 2 to 5 years is going to be a very big challenge for us to preserve that market share with consumers.